Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with David Strathairn, iconic actor. I love so many of your movies, but this time we're talking Theater of Wars, The Oedipus Project, which is going to be performed June 24th on Zoom as part of the Summer Nostros Festival. Hey, David, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to report on this. We appreciate it.
Now, I know this festival has been going on. It's like a summer thing they do every year. Is this the first time you participated, or do you do it every summer?
This particular piece, we've done several times. The Theater of War project has been going on a number of years. It's, if I'm not mistaken, it's at least 10.
Okay, cool. And basically what you guys do is you take, you know, Sophocles, Oedipus the King, and it's going to be like a live table read, I assume. Before we get into the logistics and, you know, the big cast and all that that's joining you, just give our listeners a reminder. Maybe they read, you know, Oedipus in school or something, but maybe they've forgotten the premise. Or, you know, like, give them this, just the basic, you know, of what this piece deals with, the basic premise.
Well, the play is about Oedipus the King and the town of Thebes at a time when a plague has leveled the city. It's very similar to what the COVID-19 has done to the world, and sort of compromised the infrastructure and the daily lives of people. And Oedipus is ruling the city, and people are circling around the feet of his palace and asking for help. They need their leader to somehow use his God-given powers to rid the city of the plague. And several advisors come to him and asking for his help, advising him that he should do this. And what is revealed is a curse put upon him from birth, which leads to the horrific, tragic events which everybody are probably most familiar with, when he discovers that he has murdered his father and slept with his mother, and he must exile himself from the city. And if he does, apparently the plague and the curse will abate. So that's sort of the play in a nutshell.
Gotcha. Appreciate it. And then how is it actually going to be performed? Are you guys, I mean, usually I assume you would get together, you know, for like a table read in front of an audience, but explain how with COVID, you know, I guess, are you guys all just going to be in your own rooms on a Zoom call, or how's that going to work?
It is a Zoom conference read. People will be wherever they are, isolated. And the gallery view will have everybody, or if you want just the speaker view, you can have the person who is actually speaking at the time. And we read the play. The format is very similar to a live performance. The only thing that's lacking, unfortunately, is the immediacy of being in the same space with your audience members, sharing in the experience. After the reading, three or four members of the community, which we are presenting it to, and they could come from anywhere now because of COVID, they will give their reactions, a short gut reaction to what they heard and what the sort of inspired in them. These will be people who, say, if it's we're doing a reading about military trauma, this will be people from that community. It could be a chaplain, it could be a officer, it could be an enlisted man or enlisted man's relatives, or a sociologist that deals with the particular people for whom the play is intended. And then after that, there's an open discussion led by Brian Dorries, who is the creator of Theater of War. And he moderates, narrates, and guides a sort of freewheeling, open discussion. He asks a few specific questions to lead the audience towards, you know, what they may have experienced. And it's really a very much of a town hall communication, town hall discussion.
That sounds great. Now, you sort of alluded to it already, but some of the timely themes here. I mean, you mentioned that it was written at the time of the plague. You know, there's the COVID tie-in, but the website also says, it's a play about arrogant leadership and ignored prophecy and that kind of thing. I mean, how, just maybe unpack that a little more of how you think, are we ignoring certain lessons of history right now too? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what are some of the, how timely this is when audiences see this? It's going to speak to their lives.
Yeah, I think it's very timely. We've done it a couple times already, and the audiences have responded with a wide range of response. But it does inspire relevancy to today. And these plays have such potency because of having been written 2,500 years ago, they're dealing with issues that are very human always throughout history. How do we wrestle with critical moments and crises in our lives, everything from a familial situation to a general political citywide or nationwide a problem or concern or something. So they do have a lot of relevancy. And in terms of leadership, not heeding warning or being perhaps a little bit in denial, feeling threatened by the plague and what it means to the community or the city that the person is ruling, all comes into play with today, and it's quite exciting to see and listen how the audience responds, because mostly and most often the audiences tell us more about the play than the play itself and how it resonates.
For sure. Now, you have a huge star-studded cast here. Why don't you tell our listeners who all is going to be joining you for this reading? It's some all-stars there.
I only know of, well, I think is, I haven't looked at the list for today's reading, but I think it's Oscar Isaacs is doing Oedipus. Do you have the list of the names?
Yeah, I can actually read it then. I don't have who's playing who, but I know it's going to be you, it's going to be Francis McDormand, two-time Oscar winner. We have Oscar Isaac, everyone loves him, Jeffrey Wright, John Turturro, and then New York City's public advocate, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Jumaane Williams?
Yeah, Jumaane Williams, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the same cast, yeah. Oscar will be playing Oedipus, Francis McDormand is doing Yocasta, his wife, I'm doing a messenger. John Turturro is doing Tiresias, the prophet. Jeffrey Wright is playing Tiresias, the prophet, the blind prophet. John Turturro will be reading Creon. It's a great group of people.
I love it. Now, and you said have you guys been rehearsing it, or you said you've performed it already with that same group, so I guess you're a well-oiled machine. How did that work? Like, did you guys get together on Zoom and rehearse it?
Yes, we had a Zoom session prior to the worldwide reading, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that sounds like it's going to be really exciting. I think I've seen Theater of War do a show a couple years ago in person in D.C. I'm pretty sure it was the same group because Jeffrey Wright was with them. And it's fascinating, and the conversation afterwards is just as fascinating as the play itself. So
I'd say the conversation is even more revealing, and that's where the real drama comes, because often in these and that's the beauty of everybody being in the room together, because you're sharing in a very empathic way the material. And you can come from all walks of life, all political, bents and wiggles, and you get in a room, and it's a very open, free, safe place for people to express their feelings. And it's extraordinary how resonant these plays are. I mean, the Greeks, they sort of are considered the founders of modern democracy, the polis, but they were and also the fathers of perhaps our modern drama, who knows, but they were pretty right on with what they were talking about.
Oh, yeah, it's almost eerie how similar a lot of the things that keeps history just keeps repeating itself, and they had their finger on the pulse right away. Cool. Well, I have more than enough to work with, but before we go, and I would love to, I have so many of your my favorite roles of yours that I want to talk about. We could talk forever, so, but yeah, if you don't mind, like, maybe we could kind of move through them in a little, you know, maybe rapid fire, just get, I'll throw on out and just share a memory with me if you don't mind. I think one of the first ones I remember seeing you in was the Nichols movie Silkwood. Any memories of being on set for that?
Silkwood, gosh, that was such a long time ago.
I'm going back, man.
Yeah, what do I remember about that one? Oh, gosh. At that time, it was pretty intimidating working with Cher and Meryl Streep, and it's just kind of just dipping my toes in the water back then.
Okay, and then 8 Men Out, loved that flick about Shoeless Joe.
Oh, 8 Men Out, one of my favorite experiences. What could be better? Dressing up in an old baseball uniform and playing baseball all day. Really wonderful. One of the more moving and special moments was when this really elder gentleman came down from behind the dugout from the stand. He was one of the extras for the day. And he asked to talk to the players, the actors, players. And he had this huge scrapbook, beautiful old leather-bound scrapbook. He had been a 12-year-old boy back in the time of the 1919 World Series, and he'd kept every article relating to this scandal, all the box scores of every game, all the writings, the whole thing, and he wanted to share it with us. And it was he kind of had tears in his eyes when he was talking about his days as a 12-year-old going to Comiskey Park and watching the White Sox.
Wow. Well, yeah, that was to say it ain't so. I mean, the kids were the one that were affected.
Really?
And then another baseball movie, you were in A League of Their Own, and Penny Marshall, who knew all these years later, man, I mean, that even looks even more ahead of its time, you know, post-Me Too and everything. That movie is a classic.
That is a classic. Great. So much fun. You know, watching Tom Hanks do his stuff and watch the girls play baseball. I had a blast just sitting in the stands with Gary Marshall, who was a delightful, really wonderful guy.
And then I think underrated, The River Wild. I freaking thought that was a tense little thriller, almost like a Deliverance. And you know, the cast was outstanding.
I know. We were like, John C. Reilly had just sort of come on the scene. He'd done a couple of things before then. But, yeah, that was what could be better, going on a river trip and then for a summer vacation and then and filming it. I will once say one thing. The water was really cold.
I love it. Yes, you got Meryl and John C. Reilly and Kevin Bacon and the kid from Jurassic Park. It was great.
Yeah, Joey Mazzello.
Wait, say again?
Joey Mazzello, yeah.
And then L.A. Confidential. I mean, maybe except for Chinatown, one of the coolest neo-noirs ever done.
Yeah, you're right there. Beautifully done, beautifully shot, and just an amazing group of actors. You know, just right around the room, there was I'd say that people do remember that movie, but when they really sort of apply some judgment to it, it stands up very strongly, just like you said, is one of those of that genre. Really wonderful.
Absolutely. And then, dare say, arguably your career role, Good Night and Good Luck as Edward R. Murrow, as a radio guy, you know, broadcast journalism and such. A legend, and you nailed it, you know, working with Clooney there as Fred Friendly. But memories of that, you know, black and white, awesome, one of the best journalism movies ever.
Yeah, I think they should show it again.
Yeah, explain why. McCarthyism is bad.
Well, journalism, as you're in the middle of it, it is one of the most vital and assaulted and esteemed. And, you know, there's a lot of things you could say about journalism today, but that film is a reminder of how important, how incisive, how effective journalism is in our lives. And the battle between Murrow and McCarthy, it's legendary. He was an extraordinary man, learning about Edward R. Murrow's life from a dirt floor cabin in Appalachia, and then to where he ended up is an extraordinary arc of a life. And he was an amazing man. And it was just an extraordinary privilege to take part in that. And George, I think, George and Grant Heslov did a beautiful job conceiving it, writing it, the whole thing.
Everybody go back and look at that. I mean, damn, it's a piece of work. Then something completely different. You did some action. You got to be part of the action movie, The Bourne Ultimatum. How fun was that?
That was wild. That was wild.
Wild?
Wild ride. Wild ride.
All right, cool. We're going. Yeah, and then just we could go all day, but Lincoln and Darkest Hour. You got to do Daniel Day-Lewis, and Gary Oldman. They're Oscar-winning roles as two of the most pivotal figures in history. How cool was it to be a part of that?
Very cool. Very cool to be in the presence of Daniel Day-Lewis. That was a privilege, something I'll never forget. And unfortunately, I was only talking on a very distant phone to Gary Oldman, to Winston Churchill, but I thought he did an unbelievably job on that. It was just really, the makeup was extraordinary, but he inhabited it full bore. And Daniel Day-Lewis is, he's pretty extraordinary man, an actor. His Lincoln was haunting, and to be in the room with him and all those other actors too, and to be in a situation that was so beautifully and perfectly designed, and all the details of the history came to life, and that sort of top shelf for me there.
Well, you're top shelf too, man. I mean, I really do think you're one of the best actors of our time. And anytime you're in a movie, it just elevates it so much. So thanks so much for taking the time to join us. And again, everybody, it's for Theater of Wars, the Oedipus Project, the live Zoom reading, Frances McDormand, Oscar Isaac, Jeffrey Wright, John Turturro, everybody, on June 24th. Thanks so much, David. It was an absolute pleasure, and look forward to seeing all your great work in the future.
Thanks, Jason, and good luck in all you do.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, man.